our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all of our strife, and preach thee too as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace to appear the hour I first believed. Our God, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. The blood of God, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will hold my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. My brother, God, His unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. Who called me here today? My forever mine will be forever mine, will be forever mine. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, your grace is amazing. Yes, it is.
We're going to turn that page over to America the Beautiful. Can we stand for this
skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful, for heroes prove in liberating strife, who more than self their country love, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness, and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful, for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Thank you, Lord. That's our prayer. That's our desire. Yes, Lord. Shed your grace upon us in America. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. hands. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Had mercy on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. As you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. Follow everything I believe in, and now I surrender. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Author, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Let the whole world see for the glory of the risen King. Yes, shine your light. Let the whole world see, singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, Jesus, we'll see. For the glory of the risen King. Jesus, let the world to see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, Jesus. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Amen and amen. He conquered the grave.
Amen. That's the thing that we need to remind people.
Yes.
That Jesus has conquered the grave. Because the lies are out there saying that this is just a bunch of fables, a bunch of myths, it's just a feel-good thing. It's not a feel-good thing. It's a faith thing. It's a walking in the power of the Holy Spirit thing. It's a Jesus thing. And it will be the ruler. He will be the ruler of all things. And is the ruler of all things. They just don't know it. Like a chicken with its head chopped off. They're running around thinking they're in control. But they're dying. And we have the message of life, Jesus Christ, for them all.
Amen.
Our theme of this National Day of Prayer is the faith of our founding fathers. And I can't think of a better pastor to help us with that theme than our very own Patriot pastor, Garrett Lee Lear, and his beautiful wife, Kathy. Will you give them a hand? And welcome to the church. Pastor.
Wow. Wake up, America. Wake up, Northeast. Wake up, New England. Wake up, Massachusetts. Wake up, Berkshire County. Wake up, Otis. Wake up, O Christians. Awake, America. Put off your slumber, and the truth will set you free. For out of Jesus' throne of grace will your deliverance come in this year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We will have no other king but King Jesus. And by the way, my mom and dad taught me properly, you don't wear your hat in the house. I just want to go on record here. Wherever I go, and you're as big as I am, you got to make a point. And I make a point that nobody is a true American who does not love Jesus Christ, and nobody who's a true American doesn't love this country and is not a patriot. And yes, there are patriots who are pastors. I am one, he is one, and there are others. And to be a pastor can be a patriot. Many of our brother pastors don't think that America is worth saving. Well, they're wrong. They don't think that you can be a patriot, a true patriot, and be a pastor or be a Christian. That's wrong too. Especially considering how our country was started. And of course, as you see on the front of my mobile pulpit, I have a mobile pulpit because a lot of places that I go to preach, I have to stand up on a stump or a box or a rock or something like that, and I bring my own pulpit. Liberty Tree. This was one of our first flags. And what does it say? An appeal to God, an appeal to heaven. So we have revisionist historians in this country that are telling Americans a lie, and many Americans are believing that lie. Well, I'm on a mission to bust that lie. And I hope you are too. And of course, nobody can think that this country was not founded on the Word of God. If we were to read in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 26, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set a snares, they set a trap, they catch men." And that's going on very much in our country right now. It amazes me. Jeremiah 29:12, you're probably very familiar with that scripture. Many of our founding fathers quoted it frequently. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." That's what we're here to do today. And all over America, and I've been involved with the National Day of Prayer for many, many years. In New Hampshire, 26 years ago, I brought the New Hampshire Day of Prayer, or National Day of Prayer, to New Hampshire. Glad to do that in the public square, right in front of the Capitol building there. So it's always a great opportunity. And I've always had a heart to believe that what was happening when we're doing that, whether the observance was in the morning, or whether it was at noon, or whether it was at night, is that we were being unified with people, I thought just across America, but actually there are other parts of the world that participate with us too. That our hearts were being knit together, we were being unified together, regardless of what church denomination we were part of, or whatever else, just kind of like what happened in the days of the signing of the Constitution or the Declaration of American Independence, where there were many different denominations that were part of that, and they came together for the purpose in God's presence. And that is true history. "Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that the joint resolution entitled Joint Resolution to provide for the setting aside an appropriate day as a national day of prayer approved April 17th, 1952, Public Law 82-324, 66, Stat 64. Just in case you want to look that up and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. And by the way, I always tell people, trust but verify, especially in today's climate. "Is amended by striking a suitable day each year other than a Sunday and inserting in lieu of thereof the first Thursday in May each year." It's amazing how many people tell me, now what day is the day of the National Day of Prayer. It's always the first Thursday. Put it on your calendar for 2017. Unless, of course, we've all gone to be with the Lord by then, and then we won't need to have a National Day of Prayer, right? But otherwise, put it on your calendar for next year, the first Thursday, whatever the date is. And here's a prayer point for us. Pray for America that we would corporately and individually return to God as a nation. And as Pastor Crapso said, talking about revival, I'm not just praying for revival. I'm praying for a revolution. I'm praying for a spiritual revolution. Okay, a renewal, a reawakening, a refiring. And somebody asked me not too long ago, well, what great awakening would this be? Please, don't ask me questions like that. I don't care what number it is, whether it's one, it's not one, it's not two, maybe it's three, four, or five. Who cares? But we need it. And of course, this year's theme comes from Isaiah 58 at verse 1. Cry aloud. From the King James, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And that, I pray, is what's happening today all over this nation in public. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, and that they break every yoke? In that verse, Isaiah 58, verse 6. This is what the Lord wants to do for us. He says so in His Word. And you can be sure, we cannot trust politicians. We cannot trust our neighbors in many cases. And that's not to malign anybody. But you certainly can trust Almighty God that has said what He will do and told you what He will do and told you in His Word right here. He said, is not this the fast I have chosen? And what does He say He'll do? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. I want that. Amen. You must want that too, or you wouldn't be here today praying and seeking that. And don't ever move away from that intention. Just like Pastor Crapser said, when we pray with intention. The way I look at it, I can ask the Lord for anything. And He's God, and He doesn't have to answer me because He's God and I'm not. I get into a lot of trouble at the New Hampshire State House not long ago because I explained that George Washington said, and I'm saying it too, George Washington said, I know there is a God and I'm not Him. And Garrett Lear knows there's a God, and Garrett Lear knows that he is not Him. So He doesn't have to answer me, but He wants to. And He wants me to cry out to Him. He wants you to cry out to Him. He wants people all over this country to cry out to Him. And in verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not themself and thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That's a great reward. The glory of the Lord be our reward. And do you notice, last night I taught here about the evil of socialism, that our government is trying to replace God and not doing a good job of it, by the way. Trying to do things that the government is not supposed to be doing, that God says the church should be doing, like benevolence, feeding the poor and clothing the naked. And I'll tell you what, the church can do it a lot better than the government. Right. And the government trying to put themselves in a position of God and not doing well at it. And don't get me wrong, I'm a great believer in government. The government that God wants to have, and the government that this country was founded on with its branches of government from a biblical perspective. And we've gone way past that. Verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. So we're crying out today, and I believe the Lord will answer. And he is answering. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. What I am praying today for true Christians all over this nation will hear from the Holy Spirit the answers to the problems that we face. That we're not getting answers in government. Let me tell you, I spend a lot of time around government people. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to do in their own lives. And I try to encourage them to seek the Lord and everything else. They certainly aren't coming up with answers. I mean, how many laws more do they have to make that they can't even keep up with the laws that they make because they don't have the answer because they're not seeking the Lord? I go in and I pray with a lot of people that are making laws and say, you need to seek the Lord of what this law is about, and maybe some of these laws ought to be disbanded. But the Lord has the answers. A great opportunity for us as Christians to hear from the Lord and say, I have an answer. The Lord has shown me how we can fix this problem. And there are people actually out there in government who do care, who really want to see some things fixed. So Thursday, May the 5th is the National Day of Prayer. And during America's colonial period, many of our founding pastors, teachers, governors, legislators, and other religious and civil leaders did all they could to guide the people in their jurisdictions to seek the favor, protection, and guidance of Almighty God. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. It's a good thing to do, but don't expect that everyone's going to agree with you. I learned a long time ago, I got used to being a little strange, you might say, being as tall as I am. And by the way, when I went to the first grade and they sent me to the sixth grade, I figured, something's different about you, Garrett, really. And that's what I'm here about today. And that's what you're here about today, too. Seeking the Lord for answers to the problems in our society. And the Lord will answer. He has answers. God has no problems. He has answers. We seek Him and He gives them to us. These founding fathers, they called for routine public observances and special days for all citizens to do what? Humble themselves, fast, pray, and repent of sin. They knew that sin, unrepented of, would separate our country from God, undermine God's blessing, and incur His judgment. And to prove that, all one has to do is pick up today's newspaper and read the front page. It's all over there. With few exceptions, our founding fathers were steeped in a biblical worldview. And many of our Christians today don't even have a clue of what biblical worldview means. And I know because I ask them. There's always a test. Whenever I speak, there's always a test at the end. See? Most learned this biblical worldview. They learned to read first and foremost by reading the Bible. And many were educated from scripture-filled primers, like the McGuffey Reader, for example. As young law students, they learned from William Blackstone, whose commentaries on the law of England was the legal textbook of the period. Blackstone exalted God's law as the foundation for and superior to all just human law. Hear that, politicians? Blackstone exalted God's law. We have people that go through law school and turn out to be unlawful. They don't really learn law. They learn precedent, case law, and all this kind of stuff. And we see that happening around us all the time. We need that change too. Consequently, they were familiar with the story, for example, in the Bible of Achan, whose private sin brought defeat to Israel by its enemies and great loss of life in Joshua 7. They quoted in their private and public statements the scripture, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people," Proverbs 14:34. They believed literally, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," Psalm 33:12. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn," Proverbs 29:2. I don't know about you, but I've been spending a lot of time mourning lately. Because there's an awful lot of unrighteous people in positions of power, and they're using it in a wrong way. And running for office, that's right. And I am mourning over that and talk to a lot of them and say, "You're going to go nowhere. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God," Psalm 9:17. Isn't it wonderful to deliver a prophetic message to people that don't want to hear it, but do it anyway? Even though Jesus does say to those that have ears to hear and eyes to see and so forth, but we deliver the message and then our hands are clean, like in Ezekiel 33. If we don't deliver the message, then their blood is required of us. Just after the armed conflict that broke out with the British in Lexington and Concord, Kathy and I just spent about a week or 10 days up there doing different parades and marching and so forth. I was born in Lexington. I stand on Lexington Green a lot because that is the birthplace of American liberty, the place that shot heard around the world. And as Americans today, we need to understand that those people fought and died and sacrificed. They prayed. Their preacher came out and gave them prayer the night before and exhorted them the night before. And they believed what they were doing was not just for them there. It wasn't about money. It was about freedom and liberty and having no other king but King Jesus and getting away from a tyrannical government. And they believed what they were doing was going to help the entire world, and it has. America has been a help to the entire world. Not because we're perfect, but because we have said, "You don't have to have any other king but King Jesus." And we have said to the world, there is a possibility of liberty and freedom and standing against tyranny with God's help. And if anybody thinks we won the war against the most powerful nation on earth because we were so smart or because we were so good or we had more soldiers or better weapons, that is absolutely not the truth. We did because the hand of Almighty God was on us. Divine providence was what they said in the 18th century. And of course, the Second Continental Congress provided the higher ground that brought Americans together as one nation. A nationwide call to prayer. The resolution called for a day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer throughout the colonies. You know, a lot of the people that run for office, they act like they're going to be God, that they're going to be able to solve problems like that. How could they do that? Most of the things they're promising, they don't even have the power to be able to do. And so the issue is, who do we really want to see in office? People that are willing to publicly be humble. They're willing to fast, they're willing to pray, just like the start of this country. On Thursday, July 20th, 1775, fellow patriot James Warren wrote Samuel Adams this: 3 millions of people on their knees at once, supplicating the aid of heaven, is a striking circumstance, a very singular one in America. May the blessings of heaven follow in answer to our prayers. I would suppose today, on this 2016 Anno Domini, what's that mean? I told you it's a test. Year of our Lord. That's in our documents, signed in our documents even now. Year of our Lord, year of our Lord. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Zoroaster, not Lao Tzu, Jesus Christ. See? And so for this year, I'm believing we probably have a lot more than 3 million on their face or on their knees or however that they're praying, more than 3 million in this country. Don't think that the Lord is not paying attention to that. He sees that. And he's moved by that, I am sure. Their prayers were heard. Since the time of the Pilgrims, colonial governors and legislators had issued hundreds of proclamations. We have them in our archives. We can read them. Hundreds of proclamations that have been issued. It's an amazing thing that these things have actually been preserved. That has got to be the hand of the Lord. Because you can be sure the revisionist historians, They want to destroy this stuff. They want to get rid of it. I always tell people, you go to Washington, D.C., or you go to different places like the Forefathers Monument in Plymouth. I didn't write this stuff. I didn't get out there with my Dremel tool last night and carve it in stone. They put it there. And they put it there so, and it stays so we could see it, so we could know the truth. I mean, stones of remembrance. Today's National Day of Prayer traces its lineage from that pivotal nationwide prayer meeting 1 year before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which could be considered the truly first National Day of Prayer. America was conceived, birthed, and continues to be held together by the Holy Spirit-led prayer and praying, and it's going to be unify or wither away. That first national prayer meeting further united the colonies on the basis that unity in the face of tyranny, the founders declared independence. I mean, for us to make the statement, and people will say, okay, when you say you'll have no other king but King Jesus, you know, we don't entertain religion here. I'm not just talking about religion. I'm talking about faith in Christ, but I'm also talking about the thing. I owe no allegiance to any king except Jesus. And that's what our founding fathers said. We will be a constitutional republic, not Rex Lex, but Lex Rex. The law of God, not the law of man. And if there was ever a time for Christians to repent from being little different than our unconverted, unsaved, lost neighbors, from secret sins and addictions that ruin lives, marriages, and families, it's now. If there ever was a time for God's people to turn from sin, pursue holiness, and give ourselves sacrificially to impact our culture for righteousness and save our nation, it is now. Amen?
Amen.
It is now. Amen. Congress passed, and President Harry Truman was president number what? You don't have that in your memory? He was number 33. He signed the annual National Day of Prayer into law in 1952. In 1988, the National Prayer Committee requested Congress pass, and President Reagan, who was president number 40, signed a resolution making the National Day of Prayer the first Thursday in May every year. Oh, Heavenly Father God, Almighty, please now use this important day to stir America to prayer and action and to make this National Day of Prayer as successful as was the first National Day of Prayer in July 1775. God will hear our heartfelt prayer. God will hear our heartfelt prayer. Forgive our sins and heal our land. And we know that 2 Chronicles 7:14 that so often gets quoted without people really understanding what it's telling us to do and who is telling it. If my people, not the worldly people, we're out there waiting for the world to repent and change their ways, when the Lord is saying, if my people will do these things. And of course, Joel 1:14 and 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and Revelation chapter 8. Our nation is in trouble. I don't think anybody can say otherwise. But God is God and He has answers. And I can say right now, there's not one political party or candidate out there that can fix this. They may promise that they can, but I look at them and say, you know what? Liar, liar, pants on fire. You can't fix it. You can't even fix your own life, but God can. And I just like one of them to stand up. And I remember years ago, a friend of mine was running for governor in New Hampshire. And he said, are you going to support me, Garrett? I said, no, I'm not, because you're just lying like the rest of them. And my friend lying doesn't make me feel any better about my not friend lying. You're promising to do what you have no authority to do. If you stood up there and said, look, folks, I'm only going to do what the Constitution of New Hampshire tells me as governor I can do, and I'm only going to use the power I have in the rightful way that has been prescribed in that Constitution, and I'm going to lead you in prayer meetings, and I'm going to lead you getting on your knees and calling upon Almighty God, because we've got troubles that no man can fix. I'd say, I'd support you if you do that. See? And so, I can say right now, there's not one political party or candidate out there that can fix this. I can tell you my only hope is in Almighty God. Jesus is our hope. The most important thing we can do as Christians is to pray. Pray to the true God. Cry out to Him and cry out to Him now. take action to confirm our prayers. And that's a lot of things. Many times we pray things and turn right around and don't do the things that we have just prayed. Confirming the things that we have just prayed. Demonstrate our faith and without shame what we believe because it is true. I believe the word of God is true. Not because it's not true because I believe it's true. It's true and I believe it because it's true. You see? Some people say, well, that's your belief. Well, I can tell you there's been lots of other people that have believed. Better people than me. Because the word of God is true. And yes, God Almighty is the answer. He's the only resource and hope we need for America, our leaders and our government. That's what our founding fathers did. Help us, Jesus, please, Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path, and we continue to surrender this election and the candidates into the Lord's hands. Let us be guided by his word and find direction in his light. Our culture, with the ideas of life and liberty, it's imperative that we teach and do not conform any longer to a pattern of this world. And I'll tell you, when people say the world has invaded the church, that is an understatement. Because a lot of people don't even understand, as I said earlier, a biblical worldview, doing things the Lord's way. And so we can't conform to the things of the world. We know that Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us that, right? Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's what we want, his perfect will. This republic cannot afford a sideline church. A lot of people say the church is ineffective, the church is unnecessary. That is totally wrong. Our founding fathers understood that. Last night, a very smart young woman asked me this question about the separation of church and state. And I said, let me tell you, the way that it is portrayed is not scriptural. It is definitely not constitutional. Our founding fathers wanted to keep the government out of the church, not the church out of the government, because they knew that the effect of Christianity on government was necessary because our government was founded biblically. And so a sideline church taken out by worldliness and confusion. The Apostle Paul commanded believers to allow ourselves no longer to be conformed by the worldly patterns, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, every single day our minds need to be renewed. Only then we will understand the will of God, not just for our own lives, but so that we can be a prophetic voice to our nation. Sometimes the best way to pray for our nation is to pray for revival in the church, restoration and renewal in the church, a reawakening, a refire, a fresh oil of anointing. Sometimes that's the best way, a spiritual resurrection that we need, actually. And there are many sure signs America has declared war on our faith. Can anyone say that that isn't happening? I mean, sometimes I wake up and say, I must be having a bad dream. In this country that I've lived in and loved, and by the way, I had an epiphany of the Lord. He said, nobody, and we've got lots of people in this government, as far as I'm concerned, that are traitors. They're traitor to the throne of grace. They're traitor to this country. Lots of them. You cannot fix or help anybody if you don't love them. That's why Jesus said, I give you this second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love your neighbor, then you're not going to be able to help them. And people that don't love this country that are in our government, they will never come up with solutions to our problems because they don't love this country. And I tell them, you know what? Find a country you do love and go serve there. But if you don't love this one, you're not going to be much of a help here. So we must permeate our children. And last night we talked about that, how important that is. Permeating our children with truth before it's too late. Tell the children we teach God's hand in history to instill the ideas of liberty anew in each generation. We stand at the floodgate, holding back the lies and deceit that threaten to deluge our nation, destroy our economy, and poison our children with fraudulent and bankrupt ideas. Fraudulent and bankrupt ideas poisoning our children so they don't love this country, don't care about this country. As far as they're concerned, what difference does it make? The principles that make men free are biblical. Are biblical, and they're Christian. Amen. Teaching our children these ideas is the lasting solution. to sustaining American liberty for this and future generations. The Lord tarry his coming. This is one of the most intentional things that we need to do. When truth is honored, when the principles of the Bible are taught and practiced, when the source of our wisdom in God and Christ, then our nation and Christian self-government will be secured for many generations to come. And yes, we can do those things. Tell the children and save them from drowning in a perverse and corrupt generation. The future of America depends on it. Now, John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail, June 17, 1775. And if you think I'm going a little long today, we're talking about the foundation of our founding fathers. If you came to church on Sabbath Sunday, you got 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. And by the way, I'm not going to go on that long. So John wrote to his wife, John Adams, son of a pastor, writing to his wife, daughter of a pastor. Every day we sit, the more we are convinced that the designs against us are hostile and sanguinary, and nothing but fortitude, vigor, and perseverance can save us. Listen to what John Adams told his wife. Nothing but fortitude, vigor, and perseverance can save us. I mean, he was telling us what we need to have. So I tell people, stand up straight, no matter what your circumstance is. Let the Lord fill you with that fortitude, that vigor, and that perseverance. And what is perseverance? We don't give up. I've been told, don't come back here. I'll be back. Next week, the week after, next month. Don't come back. I'll be back. I'll be back. Because perseverance. Many people give up. They told me, they said bad things about me, told me don't come back. Well, you tell them, I have to come back. 9 years in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, passing tracks. I was told by the police, you can't do this. I said, yes, I can, and I am. It's not because I'm disobeying law, not because I don't obey the law, not because I'm not a good citizen. I am a good citizen. I'm doing what a good citizen in America should do. But I'm more importantly doing what a good citizen of the kingdom of Christ should do. We've appointed a continental fast. Millions upon their knees at once before their great creator. And this carries on from that John Adams letter. Imploring his forgiveness and blessing. His smiles on American counsel and arms. Let the devil and his secular revisionists, with all their bullying, bluster, and browbeating, take a hike and learn the history that has been kicked out of the school textbooks. Go to the sources. Go to the source materials. And as I said, it is miraculous how these things are coming out. Letters that are coming out. They're finding boxes in people's attics and stuff. Just recently, you know, I was teaching in Lexington and found a letter that was about Lexington Green. Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have a war, let us start here. And I thought they only said that there. But because they were Christians and because they did not believe they had the right to be the offender, they could only be the defender, and a letter from Major Buttrick at the Concord Bridge that said the very same thing for the very same reason. If they mean to have a war, don't fire until fired upon, but if they mean to have a war, and that's what I tell the revisionist historians, if you mean to have a war, let it start here with me. Because I'm just going to read from the Bible, and I'm going to read the facts from history. If you don't want to believe that, and see these revisionists, they try to bully you, they try to bluster you, they try to browbeat you. You know, I tell them, take a hike. This is America. Don't tell me in America that I can't pray. Don't tell me in my country that I can't do what my country's all about. Because it was Christians that started this country, not pagans. Not neutral religionists, not agnostics, not secularists. And the fruit of the Christian founding was freedom, liberty, and justice for all. So when we say that, we salute that flag, and we're saying our Pledge of Allegiance and so forth, where do you think all those things come from? They come from God's throne of grace. So what do? We cry out to God and wake up, America. Somebody has stolen our country. I can tell you, I didn't sell her. I didn't give her away, but I want her back, and I want her back right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.